أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And welcome back to Living the Quran through the Living Quran. In this series, we've been reviewing Surah Al-Najm, chapter number 53 of the Holy Quran. And this being part one under the subject of the Great Oath, as we review verses number 1 through 4. This is our second discussion, actually, of this portion. In our previous discussion, we looked at just some of the words that God has used, and we did a very brief review of the status of how God seeks to remove any ambiguity from the minds of the people of the character and the status of his messenger. Let us continue in the commentary authored by Sheikh Mohsin Karati in reviewing verses number 1 through 4. He mentions the following, that the late Sheikh As-Saduq, may God elevate his status, in his book Al-Amali, when speaking about the fact that one can never please everyone and that the people's tongues cannot be controlled, states the following, that there are some people who consider even someone such as a noble prophet as being one who is under the influence of his lower desires and passions. And so in response to this, God has defended his prophet and said, وَمَا يَنْتِكُ عَنِ الْهَوَى, that nor does he, the prophet, speak out of his own desire. We read in a hadith that Hamza, the uncle of the prophet, had once asked the messenger of God. He said, why is it that all of the doors of the masjid, meaning the masjid in Medina, which were previously open? Now, as a side note, just please note that in the early history of Islam, when the Muslims moved to Medina, the houses were built adjacent to the masjid. And so the back door of the masjid would actually open into the masjid, making it easy for people to come out of their homes and go straight to the masjid, rather than having to exit their front door and then make their way to the entrance of the house of God. So Hamza asked the noble prophet, that why is it that all of the doors of the masjid, which were previously open, why have they all now been shut except for the door of the house of Ali, peace be upon him? To this question, the prophet recited the first few verses of Surah An-Najm and said, In huwa illa wahyun yuha, that it is but a revelation revealed, meaning that all that the prophet had done was to obey the orders of God. In addition, when Imam Ali, peace be upon him, was appointed to the position of leadership and successorship during the event of Ghadir-e-Khum, the Prophet of God was criticized by those around him. And in response, the Prophet merely responded by reciting this verse of the Quran in which God said, In huwa illa wahyun yuha, that it is but a revelation revealed, that this leadership, this imamate, this guidance, the guardianship of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, after the demise of the Prophet, that this is not the doings of the Messenger of God, that this is a revelation that God has told the Prophet to convey to humanity. In addition, in response to the disbelievers who used to question and say, In hadha illa asatirul awwaleen, that this Quran is nothing but stories from the earlier days, God categorically responds to them by telling the Prophet to say to them, In huwa illa wahyun yuha, that this is nothing but a revelation revealed. Now, although the Quran is not a book of poetry, and its verses, its ayat, do not follow the rules of how poetry is composed, however, from the point of view of its unique arrangement in the words and statements, the pleasure which one gets from reciting and hearing it, and the way it is recited, it is beauty and it is balanced, just as some styles of poetry are. And this is actually seen by the last words in these initial four verses. For example, in the first verse, God ends with the word Hawa. In the second verse, he ends with Ghawa. In the third verse, he ends with Al-Hawa. And in the fourth verse, he ends with Yuha. So we see that there is a balance, a rhythm, a style of rhyming of the words in the Quran. Let us conclude this introductory review of verses number 1 through to 4 of Surah An-Najm by a few takeaway messages. Message number 1 is that The prophets spent their lives amongst the deviant people of the society. However, they did not allow themselves to become corrupt. And this is just one sign of the greatness of these men of God. They didn't allow their environment to pollute and taint them. Rather, they used their impeccable character to change the society around them. Point number two is that in principles of management, those people who are virtuous, they must be defended, and all accusations against them must be countered. We have to ensure as a community, as individuals in faith-based communities, that our leaders are kept free from false accusations, from people who want to try and blemish their character. We have to stand up and defend our religious leaders and those who are in positions of higher authority within our faith-based communities. And point number three, and we conclude with this, is that the words of the prophet do not come from his personal desires, nor from the social environment in which he lived. As God has said that whatever the prophet speaks is but revelation. And so the prophet, his life is a life based and centered upon God. And his words are only that which God wants to hear and what God puts into the mouth of the noble messenger of God. We ask Allah to allow us to be able to understand and appreciate and implement our understanding of Surah An-Najm. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.